Ready for a deep dive? We're going back to 1964, Big Sur, California, for a potential UFO sighting.
And not just any potential sighting. We're talking about a U.S. Air Force lieutenant, declassified documents, missile launches, the works.
Yeah, this one's got it all. We're looking at military documents, personal letters, even articles from places like the MUFON UFO Journal and the Skeptical Inquirer. Lot to unpack here.
What gets me is, it's not just about a UFO, it's about the whole Cold War vibe, you know?
Yeah.
Top secret everything, cutting edge tech, that constant tension in the air.
Right, like something straight out of a movie. Okay, so picture this. 1964, our main man is U.S. Air Force Lieutenant Bob Jacobs. He's in charge of, get this, photo-optical instrumentation.
Fancy title.
And he gets tasked with setting up a remote tracking station at Big Sur, their mission. Film those top secret missile launches.
Talk about pressure. And they weren't messing around with the equipment either. They brought in the big guns, the Boston University Telescope, the BU Telescope.
Okay, I've heard of that one. It's
cutting edge for its time, equipped with image orthicon technology. This thing could pick up objects in low light, super detailed images.
Wow, so like way ahead of its time.
Absolutely. And get this, Jacobs was something of a tech whiz himself. He rigged up a system to transmit timing signals wirelessly from Vandenberg Air Force Base all the way to Big Sur. No small feat back then.
That's seriously impressive. Okay, so we've got the scene set, the tech, the tension. This is where it gets really juicy. It's launch day.
Jacobs and his team are locked and loaded, ready to capture it all with the BU telescope. They get the footage of the Atlas missile launch, dummy atomic warhead on board.
Dummy? Okay, so wait, was it a daytime launch?
You're thinking ahead. Good catch. Yes, Jacobs described a daytime launch. There's another account, which we'll get to later, that mentions a pre-dawn launch around the same time. But yeah, for Jacobs, it was daytime.
Okay, got it. Different launches. For now, we're sticking with daytime. So they get the film. What happens next?
They're back at base. In Major Mansman's office, everyone huddled around watching the film. That's when the alleged UFO makes its grand entrance.
Whoa, hold on. Back up. A UFO crashes the missile launch party.
That's what Jacobs claims. He's watching the film, and suddenly there it is, a saucer-shaped object. And it's not just there, it's maneuvering around the warhead.
No way!
Then it emits these four bright flashes of light before vanishing. Poof, gone.
Okay, you've got my full attention. So, a UFO photobombs a missile launch. What happens to the missile?
Well, wouldn't you know it, shortly after this object disappears, the warhead malfunctions, falls short of its target. And the mood in the room, let's just say it shifted.
I bet. I can only imagine.
There were these, well, men in gray suits present during the viewing. They, along with Major Mansman, they lay down the law for Jacobs. Never speak of this incident. End of story.
Classic cover-up. Like something out of the X-Files. You can't just drop a bomb like that, pun intended, and expect everyone to stay silent. What did Jacobs do?
He kept quiet. For over a decade. Imagine that. The weight of what he saw, the pressure to stay silent.
That's a lot to carry around. What made him finally talk?
That's a story for another time.
Over a decade of silence. That's wild. What made Jacobs finally spill the beans?
So the 1980s roll around, right? Star Wars, missile defense, stealth aircraft, all that cutting-edge stuff starts making headlines.
Right, right. Big tech advancements.
Jacobs sees all this.
Yeah.
And he's like, wait a minute. It starts to dawn on him that what he saw back in 64, as far-fetched as it seemed, was starting to look more and more like reality.
I see. So the world's catching up to what he saw, and he feels like he can finally speak out.
Exactly. He starts cautiously, you know, sharing his experience with people he trusts, but then he starts to speak more publicly. And, of course, people are skeptical, as they should be, but there's also this wave of fascination.
Of course. It's a wild story. Okay, so we've got this alleged UFO, the potential cover-up, Jacobs finally going public. This is where that other launch you mentioned comes into play, right?
Yeah, you got it. Kingston A. George, the guy who headed up the whole Big Sur project, he offers a different perspective years later. He describes a missile malfunction happening around the same time, but he blames it on debris, not a UFO.
But Jacobs was adamant about it being a saucer-shaped object, not just some random debris. And he specifically remembered a daytime launch. George talked about a pre-dawn launch. Are we even talking about the same incident here?
That's a million-dollar question.
Yeah.
It's totally possible there were two separate malfunctions during that testing period, each with its own completely separate explanation.
Okay. Two incidents, maybe one explainable, the other not so much. What did the Air Force have to say once Jacobs goes public?
At first, total denial. They basically said Jacobs was making it all up.
Typical.
But as the story gained traction, they had to concede to some details about the project at Big Sur.
Damage control. Admit to what you can't hide. Did anyone try to get their hands on the film?
Oh, yeah. Researchers went after it, filed Freedom of Information Act requests, the whole nine yards. But guess what? The Air Force claims they can't find it. It's gone.
Convenient. So we've got men in suits, conflicting accounts, and now the key piece of evidence goes missing. Sounds fishy.
It certainly adds another layer to the mystery, doesn't it? Lots of smoke, whether there's fire or not, is up for debate.
Okay, so we've got this incredible story, potential cover-up, missing evidence. It's like a puzzle with half the pieces missing, but it gets even more complicated, right?
Oh, yeah, because now enters, drum roll please, the skeptic.
Here we go. Gotta love a good skeptic. Who are we talking about?
Phil Klass.
Oh.
Big name in the UFO skepticism world. This guy made a career out of debunking UFO sightings.
So he was like the Mythbusters of UFOs?
Kind of, yeah. Except he was just one guy. But he went after some big UFO cases. And he went hard after Jacobs. Accused him of fabricating the whole thing, the UFO, the cover-up, everything.
What was Klass basing that on? Was it just that Jacob's story sounded too wild to be true, or was there something more?
Klass was all about the evidence, or in this case, the lack of it. He pointed to inconsistencies in Jacob's story, questioned how reliable his memory could be after all those years. Plus, no film, so it's basically a case of he said, they said.
But Jacob's never backed down, did he?
Never. He always maintained he saw what he saw, that something truly strange happened that day. Even went so far as to suggest that Klass himself might have had ties to intelligence agencies.
Whoa, hold up. Conspiracy theories time.
Hey, I'm just telling you what Jacobs believed. He thought Klass might have been involved in some kind of disinformation campaign.
Wow. Talk about a plot twist. So, who do we believe?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The Big Sur incident is a tangled web of speculation, conflicting accounts, and, of course, that missing film.
It's like everyone's telling a different version of the story, and we're stuck in the middle trying to figure out what really happened.
Exactly. And that's the thing about cases like this. They grab your attention, make you think, make you question everything you thought you knew.
So where does that leave us? No clear answers, just more questions.
Pretty much. But that's okay. Sometimes the not knowing is part of the fun.
Yeah.
The Big Sur incident, it's a reminder that there are still mysteries out there. And maybe, just maybe, some things are meant to stay that way.
I like that. A little mystery keeps things interesting. Well, thanks for the deep dive. This was a wild ride.
Anytime. Always happy to explore the unknown.
And for our listeners, thanks for coming along for the ride. Remember, keep questioning, keep exploring, and most importantly, keep an open mind.